For Murder, She Baked. We had a ton of fun with this one. This was the system we were looking forward to for quite some time. So it is time to talk about it. But before we do get started, I will invite you all to join us over on The Actual Place. We have been having a lot of fun talking about this with people. And I think we're going to have a lot of fun with when the final episode comes out in a couple days for us in real life. It's going to be a good time, I think. I think we'll go ahead and introduce our guest GM for this final time. Say hi, David.
Hi, David.
Yay!
I'm David. I'm guesting from Trials of the Apocalypse. I can't remember if this is the point in the show where I introduced that as a thing, but if it's not, they'll edit it out. Trials of the Apocalypse is another
show,
podcast.
That's fine.
Yeah, you've mentioned it a few times, but we always like people to talk about their shows enough so that people
good.
Go listen to them. So
I can never remember if it's like, do it at the beginning, or do it at the end, or do it in the middle when no one's looking. I don't know.
Do it whenever you want.
So I sent you some questions for us. If you want to go ahead and get started, I will let you kind of run the rest of this.
Yeah, so just off the top, like, what are your impressions of Brindlewood Bay, and specifically if you came in with any ideas of what it was going to be like? How was it like what you imagined, or how was it different?
I really enjoyed it. I was super looking forward to this one, and I feel like it met my expectations. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed playing a murder maven. Like, I just loved the concept of the game, and similarly to Susanna, it met that expectation of a fun little mystery, you know?
Perfect.
Yeah, I think the only thing that didn't, since I'd never played it before, I think the only thing I was kind of surprised by was just, I know this isn't a mechanic to do with the game, but just how ours in particular shook out, how a very simple, let's go interrogate somebody about information, and then, oh no, they've fainted and they've just been shot with a dart, what do we do?
Yeah. Yeah. I love how that evolved, for sure.
Ramping up of the stakes.
Yes. 5 seconds. Oh.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm kind of the outlier of the group here, as in I don't consume as much cozy, like, murder mystery kind of content. Like, I've never watched, like, Murder, She Wrote or anything like that, or read, like, or even watched any Agatha Christie, like, movies or books or whatever. So I felt like coming in, I was a little nervous because it was kind of not like in my realm of knowledge, if that makes sense. But I was immediately felt really comfortable in the system. Like, that didn't end up putting me, I was worried it would kind of put me at like a disadvantage just kind of navigating the system, but it totally didn't. So I was very, kind of pleasantly surprised that everything clicked really well for me. And I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun.
Very glad.
The extra thing I was going to throw in there was I was surprised by, like, the whole void aspect of it. Like, this kind of, like, deeper mystery, which we still got to experience even in a one-shot. I thought it was pretty cool. But I didn't, like, peg that for the system because I didn't really know anything going in. You know, I just knew cozy murder mystery. So that was a fun little twist.
But I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also didn't know that was coming. I think the thing for me that was the most surprising, honestly, was I wasn't sure how much I was going to like the fact that the system doesn't make you pick a villain. I wasn't sure if that was going to be really unsatisfying, that it could be, like, kind of anyone, you know? But I ended up really liking our crazy, like, put-together ending.
Theorize at the end was so
that
fun.
That ended up being so much fun.
Yeah.
And so I ended up, like, really liking that.
Mm-hmm.
I think, definitely. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think that's why it felt like cozy mystery, is because I didn't feel like we had to be stressed about getting it right. It just had to fit.
Yeah.
It just had to work.
Yeah, I think that's the really beautiful thing about the sort of clue gathering and then theorize component of the game is even though there is no set answer in the traditional sense, it scratches all those itches of like figuring out a mystery because you're mm-hmm. if you're like watching a show or reading a book about, you know, anything that has a mystery component, there's like a little bit of like trying to get things to fit together that you aren't quite sure how they fit together. And that same sort of puzzling and problem solving is exactly what you get with the theorize, as you're trying to like make your own ideas and theories work. I think it gives you the same sort of feeling. It's almost like magic every time, where like midway through the mystery, I'm like, all right, with the clues we have so far, I have absolutely no idea what's going on. And then like by the time it gets to the end and I'm like, oh, I don't know. Like, what if it's like this though? Ooh, but if it's like that, yeah. Then maybe it's like this. And then getting to like roll for it, you still get that like degree of complication where you could be right or something deeper could be going on. And it's really fun. I like that a lot about it.
Yeah. I honestly think that's like a really good way to put it. Like, it really kind of perfectly captures that feeling you get reading like a mystery novel or watching a mystery show, and you as the audience member trying to figure it out, but now you as the character are trying to figure out, which is just really fun to kind of insert it that way. It's really good.
Yeah. So what was everybody's like favorite bit? Could be like a particular role that you thought was great, or a particular scene or a line or anything like that.
In general, I think we all had very good introductions. I think each one of us had cool introductions.
I think I'm going to go with the most important part of the entire one shot, which was me winning the role at the end to see who won the entire bacon
competition. Oh, sure. All right.
I really liked how that panned out.
That was good.
That was a good one.
The underdog takes it.
I really liked every section where we were actually doing like the baking competition, just because that is a show that I do consume a lot of, which is you know, Great British, definitely not actually the Great British Baking Show, but you know
of
what I mean?
Of course not, because that would be connected to something else.
Yeah,
entirely.
I loved explaining all the different dishes that we were making and then choosing like whether they were good or not. That was fun.
Yeah.
I thought it was really funny that my character made biscuits and gravy.
Yeah, that was funny.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I just thought that was like the perfect use of my cute old Southern lady.
I will say, I think possibly the most cinematic moment of the whole thing was when I actually got to use my possibly, well, I didn't win the cake with this, but I used the cake to be the weapon that brought down the mastermind. That was awesome.
I was going to say, I think my favorite part was honestly the ending, like exposing them on television. That was pretty great.
Yeah.
On camera. Yeah.
Oh, I just thought of an honorable mention was me getting to use my MacGyver move to suck poison out of somebody.
Yeah,
that was
great.
That was pretty funny. That was fun. I almost forgot about that. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. I got to use my crazy move. I wasn't sure I'd get to use it or not.
Yeah.
I will say, I think the unsung hero of this whole thing has to be Mo, because he was a star.
He got, like, what, two clues, I think?
Yes,
like,
he pulled at least two clues, and without him, I wouldn't have known things. He was a star.
I loved your way of using him. It was like, here, have this cat.
Here's a distraction.
Do you like cats? Here.
Yeah. There's a
pet
blatant
my cute
distraction.
Furry animal.
I love it.
Yeah,
that was really funny.
Lure people in with the cat petting. They stick around for the interrogation.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And just like coming up with the clues, like when we were finally like putting things all together and just seeing it build like that was just really, really fun.
Mm-hmm.
That was like the moment when I was like, oh no, I really like this system. This is really good. This is one of my favorite things we've played.
Yeah. Especially because the fact that they like among ourselves, we actually managed to make it make sense. There wasn't any of them that we used that was like, yeah, but we need to use it, but we still don't know exactly how it fits. No, they all fit.
Yeah. One of the things I really like about that is it makes Brindlewood Bay, even like rules as written with the modules that it has, it makes it incredibly replayable. Even with the same players, like even with the same group, if you revisit something, this has been like an idea kicking around I've had for a while of like doing a time loop Brindlewood Bay mystery, where you keep having the same mystery, but like every time you do it, it's still going to be different. You don't even have to like inject anything to make it different, because it's going to play out differently, because it always does.
That's such a good idea.
Yeah, that's smart.
That's a cool idea.
I like that.
That's a fun idea.
I'm going to do it one of these days, but it's a system very well suited for it. Yeah.
I have to share something funny with you. So I was chatting with someone on another server about our Brindlewood Bay game, and they said, hey, you should go over to the Gauntlet's Discord and post the game there. And I did. I posted the first episode, and the creator of the game, Jason Cordova?
Yeah, Jason Cordova.
Yeah, he said, I absolutely love that you made my silly, dirty joke the title of your first episode.
Yeah, I saw him post that. I'm so glad that he got to see it.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, I've had the pleasure of playing in a few games that Jason has run, including we did a Brindlewood Bay campaign, which was totally rad.
That's awesome.
He seems like a lot of fun.
Oh no, yeah, and the Gauntlet server is great. You know, mini plug for there. They make a lot of great games, and there's lots of like both fans of them and also other game developers and stuff. So it's a great server for people who are interested in learning more about, you know, how to write a game, as well as like writing for any
of
their
stuff. I was looking through it and I was like, oh, this looks really cool. I could learn a lot here.
Yeah, there's a lot of
great working on our own game right now.
Yeah, no, I'm speaking of things I'm excited to bring to my table sometime soon. I'm looking to hopefully later this year. We'll see.
Exciting.
But let's ask more about our little game here. One of the things on here is make sure to talk about things that didn't happen. What does that question mean? What okay, is that so in this context?
We normally use that for our main show.
Yeah, so normally I don't know if this will apply in this game or not, but normally there's sort of like some plot points that you plan out,
right,
and if they don't happen, talk about like what could have happened if it had gone this way. Like, I don't know if this works for this one, but I figure I'll throw it in there just in case you
let me pull up the mystery.
Oh my.
Oh.
Yeah, we definitely met all of our suspects in this one, so there's no people who we missed. The only location we didn't go to was we had Timothy's trailer, Timothy Boosh, who's the other presenter. So we could have gone there. Is there any clues that are especially fun? Ooh, I always like reading off the void clue options. Of course, we got the one that was like, for a short time, there are people of Brindlewood Bay seen wearing featureless wooden masks. So, of course, we got that one. But there's also a baked good that seems to scream when cut into.
Whoa.
There's a swarm of insects where food should be. That one's pretty tame.
Oh.
A shadow of something unnatural crawling on top of the baking tent.
Ooh.
A food canister that smells of urine, semen, and sweat. Ooh, okay.
Whoa. Okay.
Or a tray of gingerbread men engaging in obscene acts.
I really love this, because if we had gotten any of those, our explanation would have been so totally different.
Go
ahead.
The reason we went with the network was because we saw these like people in the masks, you know, like, but if we had gotten any of the rest of those, our explanation would have been vastly different.
Yeah.
And that is awesome. Really fascinating.
Yeah.
Such a good mechanic. Yeah.
That's
now,
fun.
Rules as written, void clues are for the void mystery. And most people who run one shots, they just don't either they don't include them or they just include them for flavor. But I love getting to use void clues for one shots because it immediately makes them weirder. Like, guaranteed.
Yeah.
The mystery has gone off the deep end. And that's like where I like to live in Brindlewood Bay is they're at the precipice of the deep end.
We do love our chaos.
Mm-hmm. Anything else interesting? I mean, there was, of course, a handful of clues we didn't get to, but I think the void clues are the most interesting ones. And we did get through. I was worried at first that we were going to finish the mystery before getting through the final round of baking, but we got through everything, so we did our finale during it. So we really did, not quite 100% run, but we certainly, high percentage ran the Great Brindlewood Bay Bake Off mystery.
Yes.
Nice.
I do. Speaking of the only place that we went to was didn't go to was Timothy's trailer. I have to say, I really appreciate the reference to Noel and Timothy's character. Especially the last name, Boosh. Like, that is just such a good niche reference. Like, it's great.
What if I can you explain the reference for those of us,
the uninitiated, who don't know anything?
He was part of a British comedy group. Like the actual actor in the Great British Bake Off, Noel Fielding, was in a comedy group, I think called the Mighty Boosh. And one of the most iconic, like, at least for me, one of the most iconic skits he did was Old Greg. He played Old Greg. It probably is going to age me a little bit by saying that. But if you don't know that, well, go look it up.
Okay, that's fun. I don't know how much you can age you more than Andrew and I spent, like, a couple of weeks watching Murder, She Wrote.
But that doesn't really age us because it was popular before we were cognizant.
There was like an era when I was in like middle school, high school, where everyone quoted that skit nonstop. Like, it's good.
That's fun. I bet I would recognize it if I saw it.
I'm not familiar, but might have to check it out.
I mean, Hannah is our internet meme queen, so...
Yeah, I was going to say, it is, like, a classic meme, so...
I was joking that between Hannah and me, we should be able to recognize, like, all of the, like, cozy murder mystery and also bake-off...
references.
Easter eggs.
References, yeah.
References, yeah.
After we've kind of talked about some of our favorite scenes and stuff, is there any particular fan art from the arc that you would love to see? For me, it's definitely the table cake flip at the end.
Yes, the cake in the midair about to crash onto Sue.
Definitely.
I always say I want to see our characters.
Always,
that's always fun.
Always.
Yeah.
The other thing is I want to see people's interpretation of the scary mask people.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, that'd be fun. On a re-listen, when I've been listening to it as it comes out, I realized that we forgot about the eagle that was supposed to be part of, like, the finale.
Oh, no.
But I like the idea of just, like, a scene of, like, the inside of this tent, because we, like, described the inside of the tent pretty well when we got to all, like, kind of add something to it. So just the whole kind of bake-off scene would be kind of fun, too.
Well, I mean, perhaps the eagle didn't show up because you didn't win in the proper way, as in you didn't win, like... cash prize, like, meaning, I mean, he pulled a sticker and gave you a sticker and said bragging rights. Remember that? I'm thinking, like, the eagle was like, okay, where's the fanfare and the money bag and everything? I don't see a fanfare and a money bag.
Yeah,
okay,
with everything going on, that makes sense. Yeah.
I'll just chill out right here until I see a fanfare and a money bag.
I know we didn't get this clue, but it would be hilarious art to have someone holding, like, a baking sheet of those gingerbread men doing obscene things, but the sheet is, like, blurred. Like, it just has, like, a sensor block over top of it. Like, that would be hilarious art to see.
That would be funny.
I definitely want to see an interior drawing of... all the ostentatious things we described Paul had in his trailer.
That's good too. Because he had a poster and a cardboard cut out of himself, didn't he?
Yes. Yeah. He had both things. Plus the wine chiller
We wanted quite a bit of detail about, like, the note he, like, wrote to himself or something too, or, you know, stuff like that.
To Paul from Paul.
That'd be pretty good. Yeah. You got this.
It was good. I kind of want to see, I would want to see a freeze frame of Donna at the end where she's, like, pointing at everyone and going, they're being so mean. I'm so sorry, Scott, but also I hate you. Oh, man.
There's lots of good cinematic moments. I think Brindlewood Bay as a game really is quite good at getting those almost like... simultaneously absurd and cinematic scenes.
Like a picture of the table flip, like, paused in slow motion with the cake, like, opening up with a bald eagle flying overhead.
Just as wild, like, as our theory itself.
Just one other one, just because we constantly described him as eating pie and cake and whatever else. What does Sheriff Dalrymple look like? Like, what is the What is the go-to stance for Sheriff Dowd? Show us our wonderful sheriff.
I would like that too, yeah. he was very well characterized, I will say, David.
He was. He was so fun.
Yes.
Yeah, Sheriff Dalrymple is in a campaign, like running the base game for Brindlewood Bay. He always matters. But like every table takes him in a different way. I've been at some tables where like the first mystery where he's introduced, they're just like, he did it. I don't care why the sheriff did it. He's in the suspects list. And like from day one, it's like, how do I pin this on the sheriff?
That's so funny.
That's funny.
Oh, it's great.
I would love it if this like bumbling sheriff was secretly like a criminal mastermind.
Yeah.
Like, that'd
be kind of mastermind. Fun. Yeah, that would be great.
I mean, a lot of people end up painting Dalrymple as like, usually he ends up being part of the dark conspiracy for most tables. I really like playing Dalrymple as kind of an idiot because I think he's I think he's more fun of a character that way. Plus then of course you can always like, you can always revise it later and be like, ah, he's only been acting like an idiot the whole time. And then
Yep. That's fun. Yeah.
So
I just love how much everything can move, but yeah, anyways.
Yeah, there's a ton of motion in the game. Like that, I think that it shines really nicely as a one shot, but I think people are really surprised by how well it adapts as a campaign to not only have that, not to call it like a monster of the week mystery, but like of course you have your murder of the week with each subsequent mystery, but then because of their conspiracy stuff, you also have that season long sense of building, like there is something else going on as well, and the more that gets to flesh out as time goes on, it's just a lot of fun. So
yeah, I mean, like, that's something that we have put into our Monster of the Week game, is like having an overarching, you know, extra mystery kind of thing that's going on in the background, and also having the sort of mystery of the week thing. And so it's fun that this like builds that into the system, because it really encourages people to do that, and it makes it so much easier to do like a campaign.
Oh yeah, sure.
Do you have any questions for me about this or Brindlewood Bay or anything else?
How well did we do compared to the average table? I mean, I know we did it on our first roll, but like, you know, are we up there? Are we, like you said, we had a speed run.
No, yeah, you did a great job.
Or 100% run. Yeah.
This is a mystery where a lot of people like playing around in the setting so long that I think I was a little bit worried we were going to like take more episodes than necessary in order to cover some of the ground, because all of some groups that like, regardless of whether or not they certainly have enough to like develop a theory, they're like, no, I just want more clues. Like, I just want to
I want to be here as long as I can getting more clues. Yeah,
I really like what's going on here. I just want to hang out here. So no, I think you all did a great job. And especially like for people who haven't played Brindlewood Bay or a game like it specifically before, this game asks a lot of the players to contribute to the setting in a way that a lot of other systems don't. And that I've noticed for some tables is actually the hardest part, is like when they get like a paint the scene question and like they were not ready to, you know, supply information in that way. Those can sometimes be kind of hard, but I think you all did a great job with kind of rolling with what the system asked of you, which was a lot of fun to play with.
I think I'm pretty sure it helps that a lot of us are writer people who write things.
Yeah. That is fair.
We've also played a lot of games.
Also true.
Yeah.
Very true.
I really like this one.
This game is definitely unique, though. It definitely stands, it's set apart from the other games that we've played.
Yeah, it's a very different mechanic, yeah.
This one and Spell were also, that was another really terrible, unique one we did, was with Spell.
For sure.
Any other questions or thoughts? Or
other times you've played this, who got picked as the murderer?
has there been like a most murdered or most murderer person? Who's the most common one?
Okay.
Most likely to be killer award goes to.
Let me see. So I think I've either played or run this mystery three times. including this one. And the other two times, so you all ended up going for sort of this combination, Jane Leaf and Sue Mellon was helping out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were the two.
And there was like this greater conspiracy. One of the times I've done it, it was Heath Hendricks, the producer.
Ooh.
Okay. He like, there was basically like a labor union forming that Paul was like gathering support for, and so he killed Paul.
So Paul was like a good
yeah. Like, Paul was actually like a better guy in that one, which is interesting.
That's fun.
And then the other time, I think the other time was also Jane. Jane is popular because everyone likes to see the other little old lady do it, right? Let's
That's a good point.
True. But there's, I mean, this is definitely a group of suspects where, with how the clues are, you can pretty much spin a yarn for anyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The good cast of potential.
I think murders. The only tough one to like really string together is like Melanie Blair, just because we don't know as much about her, because like we don't have any of the context from like knowing the show that this mystery is based on. She's just like a person in Brindlewood Bay, basically. And so
right.
Usually she ends up being part of something than being the sole perpetrator, unless like, you know, the cool thing about being the keeper for Brindlewood Bay is you although it is ultimately the players who assemble like what their theory and what the narrative is for what the result is, it actually is your job to throw interesting bits at the players. And so like if you think that Melanie's a really interesting character, like you can absolutely make her come up more, like you can push and steer the narrative a little bit, but ultimately it does come down to the players. So
That's fun. I like that.
Yeah,
do you have a favorite module
From the base game? So I can't remember if it's included in the like now with the Kickstarter there's like a whole different set of mysteries that like there's like the original ones and then some of the other ones that were added over time are all part of that now, and I can't remember which ones are, which ones aren't. There's a mystery called The Long Dark Tea Time of the Soulless. That one's one of my favorites. It all takes place at a bed and breakfast in Brindlewood Bay, and it's super fun. And then I also love Exit Stage Death, which is the Mavens go out of town to Boston to go and watch a show. And it's like very inspired by The King in Yellow. It's like got all this cool Eldritch.
That's cool.
Those are two
that
of my favorites.
Awesome.
Nice.
Those names show that the creators of the game did a really good job of capturing that like cozy mystery show episode title or mystery novel vibe for like the title. That's really good. I like that.
And then of the like not base game modules, I've written like four mysteries now for Brindlewood Bay. Of those, I think my favorite's the one we ran for the show, just because I love the idea still so much, which is Bitter Rivals, which is about a school mascot that gets murdered.
That's cool.
It's like chasing down, and because like specifically the mascot is like found in a bloody scene, but like the person inside the costume is just missing, so like he could be dead or not. And instead
that's
it's like
so good.
It's like
that's
somebody killed the enemy mascot, and like that's the big deal, and it's like
that's fascinating. I like that
one's really fun.
That sounds really fun.
Hey, do you have a link to like the games that you've written?
That one, I think the A version of it, very close to what we ran on the show, is on itch.io. I can provide a link if you need one. And then it's also a new revised edition is going to be going out. I think we'll probably release it on itch as well because it's not just unique to this. But there's a big collection of Brindlewood Bay mysteries that's being organized by a member in the community. And that one's going to be going out as one of those in that sort of Brindlewood Bay mystery omnibus.
Cool.
Give That's me, awesome. Like, your itch profile, and I will link that so people can go see your games.
Heck yeah, I can do that.
Yeah.
And then the other really good one, just because it's on my brain, because I just ran it for the for a stream around the 4th of July, I wrote I'm sort of, because of Sarah Does Stuff, who's the creator of another podcast, Redgate and Woof, she has a stream that I've been on running Brindlewood Bay a few times now, and we just happened to keep playing them close to holidays, so they end up being like holiday themed. The first one was like a Halloween themed one that was about a missing goat at a harvest festival that ended up going very eldritch. Then we did a I think it was St. Patrick's Day, and we did a like a new version of a cold case about a potential serial killer tied to the Green Man, and it was like this whole thing. That one I'm proud of the name, is the Shamrock Strangler. That one's a good one.
Ooh.
That's good.
Oh, hey, hey. I want to do nice. That
one. But then the one we just ran for 4th of July, Broad Stripes and Bright Scars.
That's
a great
name.
That's an amazing
name. I love that name so much.
It's based around a series of attempted murders at a Revolutionary War reenactment in Brindlewood Bay.
That is so cool.
Very fun.
That sounds great.
That one turned out really, really well. I'm really excited to revisit it and like polish it up and publish eventually. So
that's cool.
Awesome. Yeah, I like that one. I like that one a lot. I saw the name and I was like, that is a phenomenal name.
It was good.
Every mystery that you have answered for this question has just sounded like so much fun.
Yeah.
And the one we played was so much fun. Like, I haven't heard a bad mystery so far.
Yeah. Well, and the base game itself has tons of great ones. Even just the traditional like starter mystery is Dad Overboard. And it's a like yacht bottle episode sort of thing where Krauss is the family name. But like the dad of the Krauss family was like found washed up on Brindlewood Bay shore. They believe he fell off or was otherwise, you know, murdered and dumped into the sea outside in the Brindlewood Bay Harbor. And you like have like a limited time you can access the yacht and like try to get access to the family and figure out what happened. And it's like a very classic sort of murder mystery. And even then, like, I definitely think that one would be really interesting to see the stats on for like the most pinned it on character. I feel like it would probably either be the wife or the butler, because like the wife or the butler always did it. That's the joke.
Of course.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
That makes sense. But even it, like, it's a super fun mystery. I played that one like a dozen times at this point, and each time it's turned out different. My favorite ending, though, was I call it the mafia ending, where apparently there's like the Brindlewood Bay mafia, and they had been the ones who'd done the hit on him. And then there was like a whole like boat chase scene at the end. That one was really fun.
That's so amazing. That's so cool. Oh, that's great. I love it.
Yeah, that's Brindlewood Bay. It's like a big old wide world that you can paint with it.
And there's a couple of games that are sort of like spun off of it, right?
Yeah. So it basically, after Brindlewood Bay was released and lots of people got a lot of positive feedback from the initial release, this is before even the Kickstarter, which elevated it even further. So when Jason Cordova wrote Brindlewood Bay, he actually was writing it after working for a while on a game called The Between. But he had like he was still trying to figure out how the kind of encounter resolution system was going to work in that game. And he wanted it to be more like player generated. And so he tabled that and focused on something a little bit more simple, which was this idea for Brindlewood Bay. And he wrote all of Brindlewood Bay and published it. And then with that had kind of figured out how to do that system. And so then brought that over to The Between, which he was working on, finished that game, has published that since then. And now it's sort of like the Carved from Brindlewood umbrella of games, where you have Brindlewood Bay, you have The Between, and The Between Ghosts of El Paso, which is the Wild West expansion for it, which is super fun. We ran that on our show.
I saw that. I was really interested in that one.
It is so good. Like, so the base game of The Between is like Penny Dreadful, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen style, like Victorian London.
Nice.
And it's like, ooh, it's great. It's fun. I've played in a full campaign of it, and it was a ton of fun. But for like running, I was super excited when I heard of Ghosts of El Paso, because it's like right up my alley. I love that Wild West bullshit. It's a great time.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Our favorite game that I've ever done, that my personal favorite of the games that we've done, was Deadlands Reloaded.
Oh, Deadlands.
And it was a Weird West game that was called West Weird. And that is my personal favorite of the games that that we've played.
That's because it has such an epic finale. Oh my gosh.
It is still the best. I think it's the best thing I've ever edited. I'm super interested.
That was a great...
I wonder if we could get Jason on the show.
I mean, he's often willing to run for other stuff, especially the Between is going to Kickstarter later this year. And especially in that season, if you're looking to get him to run around that time, that would be the easiest time to get him to do something.
Okay.
So.
I'll have to reach out to him and see if he would be interested in coming on.
Yeah, he also like keeps himself real busy. So
Yeah. I would
same.
I feel that. I also do not like free time.
I also don't like having free time.
No,
Hannah and I have the ADHD thing.
Yeah, during the Brindlewood Bay Kickstarter, he did a ton of guest stuff.
Cool.
So, it's certainly possible.
I mean, I get that. That's what we're planning on doing when our game eventually goes to Kickstarter. So,
yeah,
we're going to be even busier. It's great.
Yeah, the other one coming from the Gauntlet later this year is for people who like podcasts. There's the Silt Verses, which is an audio drama, and there's the Silt Verses RPG coming out. That's being made and published by the Gauntlet.
Interesting.
And I got to play in a playtest of that on Jason's channel recently, and it is so much fun.
Cool.
That's cool.
What's the premise there?
The premise of the Silt Verses. Yeah, the premise of the world of the Silt Verses is a world with, you know, like 1,000+ gods. There's like a god for everything, and like they're commodified in a very like capitalistic sort of societal sense. So there are like, you have the Saint Electric, who's like the god of, you know, power and electricity, and so like you have to like pray to the Saint Electric in order for your power to work, and like devices are stamped with her seal, and there are like outlawed gods who you're not supposed to worship. It's a very it's a very religious horror setting.
Ooh.
Which
sounds
really intriguing.
Yeah. The really fun thing to do with the tabletop game is just like the number of gods you just get to like invent on the fly is super fun.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Like
that would be great.
I needed a sporting god, like, because I was like talking about like a god, like, because like especially baseball players are already like so superstitious,
religious,
and
yeah.
So
yeah.
I was like, I need like a god. I'm like, they're gonna be the Lord of Soaring Straight and True. And so now, like, in our setting is the Lord of Soaring Straight and True, and we, like, developed what their tenets
That's
were
awesome.
And stuff. And
That's
yeah.
fun.
That's so
that
really
makes
fun.
Me think of, like,
American
like
Gods.
Terry Pratchett's Small
yeah.
Gods.
Mm.
Or, yeah, or yeah. Neil Gaiman's American Gods. I haven't read that one yet.
Mm. Mm.
That's fun. Okay, cool.
There's a lot coming out of there right now, and there's they're all very fun.
Alrighty, well, that's awesome. You've given us homework.
Oh yeah,
gonna go look up all of these games now.
We were starting to like run out of games to be interested in. Now I'm kind of like, ooh, what can we play?
Were we running out? I knew there was more. I didn't.
No, not really.
Okay, I was like, are you?
I think
were
she meant
running out
as like maybe next year.
We reached
like
the end of our queue,
we
is what she really
on.
Meant.
Yes, that we had planned to do. Okay, yeah. Okay, that's different.
Now
I was like,
I'm kind of starting to think, this sounds fun.
Hmm.
Alrighty, well, thank you so much, David, for coming here, enlightening us, and playing this game with us, and running it for us. It has been super duper fun. I will have all your links in the description for finding your stuff that you've made, but you want to give a quick description, quick explanation one more time of who you are and where to find you?
Yeah, my name is David. I host a podcast called Trials of the Apocalypse. You can find us on Twitter at TOTA Podcast, TOTA Podcast. We're also on YouTube now at Trials Live for our live show stuff whenever we can get folks back together. We had a bunch of stuff planned and then there were some health issues and we'll get to it eventually this summer.
I feel you.
But our podcast is a show about trying different Powered by the Apocalypse games and telling little short narratives in it. So we do one-shots all the time. That's our bread and butter over there. So
sweet.
That's
awesome.
That's awesome.
So by the time this episode comes out, this episode will be... Well, actually, not by the time this episode comes out. Eventually, this episode is going to be on our new one-shot feed.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We're separating it off from the main show.
With beautiful artwork.
I'm just going to mention it now. But yeah, I've already got it set up to start going out soon, and we're going to have all of our one-shots on one feed now, so that they're a lot easier to actually listen to.
Find of them.
Yep.
And yeah. Make yeah. life infinitely more easier for us. So
also be easier to listen to our main show.
Yes, it'll be easier to listen to all of our shows. So I just wanted to mention that before we go, but I will say thank you one more time for coming on. This has been a ton of fun. And with that, we will see you in 2 weeks for our next show, which is going to be Monster Hearts.
Yes, it Hell is.
Yeah. Yeah. Alrighty. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, guys.